Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out, church. Now, fathers, I didn't forget about you being Father's Day. But I wanted this message to be recorded this morning because I really believe that God's going to do something amazing in here today. And so I want to pray for fathers here in a little bit, but I'm going to do it with the whole message. So if you would, I'm going to be finishing up the last point on the message I've been preaching on the 316 principle. And if you haven't heard those messages or whatever, you can go to iTunes or any of the iPod formats and you can go and listen to it. It's on all the major stations. And just type in the Waterhole and it'll come up. And you can listen to all those messages. But this is the sixth point, last point, and just so happens that I see a way to tie this all in to a Father's Day message. I'm not very good on preaching for the seasons, you know. I usually just am preaching off the cuff. So, but this actually works this morning. I'm really impressed, and so praise God. So if you've got your Bible out there, turn to the last chapter, last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last of my 316 principles. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi 3:16 says this: Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened, and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Isn't it amazing that, you know, the book of Malachi was the last book written in the Old Testament, and then there was what's called the 400 years of silence. There was not a prophet spoke, not a book written. There was nothing. It was as if the heavens stopped talking until Jesus came. That 400 years, folks, is a long time. 400 years is longer than the United States have been here. Y'all with me? It's like one time I was talking with Wynn Goss, and who, matter of fact, is going to be here in July preaching for Uncovering Services for him while my wife and I take off for a little bit. But and we were laughing about age of countries, you know, and around here we're real impressed if something's 100 years old. But over there, they can walk across a bridge and say, this bridge is built in 1300, you know, and you're like, big difference, right? But 400 years is a long time, and God was up there, and he just didn't speak through any of the prophets, none of the prophets prophesied, nothing happened, nothing went on. This is really kind of the last thing God said. And what his last things God's saying in the Old Testament before Jesus came on the scene in the New Testament is simply this: I love you so much. You are so important to me. The people that believe in me, the people that trust in me, you're so important to me that you're a jewel to me. And when you look up that word jewel, it means that you are a precious possession. Doesn't mean it necessarily has to have a lot of value to it. I mean monetarily, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't have to be a 50-carat diamond. Because I got things that are precious to me, like my father's pocket knife. Its dollar value is not worth much, but it's a jewel to me, and I keep it and I look at it. I was laughing. My son, he's not in here. Well, I guess y'all don't have to tell him. But I gave him one of my father's pocket knives. And so he was real impressed, but he didn't know that that wasn't the real one that I had in the... He got one. The other one's in my drawer. But it's a jewel to me. It's precious to me. You follow me? And so the thing is that God said, he wanted it like the last statement said. Look, I'm writing your names down in a book of remembrance so I can go to there and I can call it up and I can say, this is my believer. This is my son. This is my daughter. I've got their names written down. They're my jewels. Now listen to me. I love my son. I love my daughter. I love my children. I would fight, go to war for them. I have. Even when they were wrong. Like all good fathers. Okay? Because I love them. They're my jewels. They are my jewels in life. They're precious to me. Don't touch my kids. Y'all with me? I mean, we all feel that way, don't we? And so this being Father's Day, you know, we're supposed to be honoring fathers. And this message, the way I saw it when it came up, it just blew my mind that the greatest father is God. Hello? We call him Father God. And we're out here honoring fathers today. But God has birthed more children, so many that he wrote your name down in a book of remembrance. He's got so many precious thoughts about you that the sand of the sea can't even hold them all. He loves you so much that he calls you his jewel, his precious, special thing. What does the devil tell us about ourselves? Huh? That we're worthless, that we're stupid, that we can't make it, that we're no good, he reminds us of everything that we've done wrong, everything that's you know, that it isn't pleasing to God, or we make it bigger than it is and whatever. But God's not sitting there. He's sitting there saying, I love you so much. I wrote your name down here and you're my jewel. Hello? I mean, I just can look at this from an earthly perspective of how much I love my kids and what I would do to get them free, blessed, healed. Just what I would do to sacrifice to see them blessed. And I'm thinking, who am I? God says in Luke chapter 11, my thoughts are compared to his thoughts would be considered evil. That I can't even come up with enough goodness to bless my children that I even fall into the category as God does. Folks, I'm a giver. I'm a blesser. And I can't even come up with it. I can't even dream about it. I can't even get enough wild, crazy thoughts to bless my kids with that my thoughts would never even come up even into a measurement of God's thoughts that he wants to bless you. Folks, we're living substandard lives because we don't let the God who loves you so much that counts you as a jewel in life bless you. Sure is quiet here. Because we've got, and excuse my speech this morning, I just don't feel very tactful. We just got stupid people preaching stupid things out of churches and out of pulpits that isn't right, telling people that God's not for them and tell them sometimes God says no and you got to feel the chastening of the Lord and his wrath is upon you. You know, they're the worst people in the world to ever try to promote the gospel. And I'd love to take a stick to them. I made a mistake the other night. Watched Machine Gun Preacher. It was on television. If you've never seen it, you ought to go look it up. About a man in the Sudan fighting for kids and just picked up a machine gun and went to work. And I'm like, oh, God. Watching the movie, listening. Are you speaking to me, Lord? Because that's not what the Bible preaches. The Bible preaches that we're jewels and that He loves us and that He cares about us and He wants to bless you. And the only person keeping you from getting blessed is you. Because we either listen to the devil, we listen to false teaching, to whatever it is that keeps us from walking into the victory that we're supposed to walk in. Does that mean that God wants you to become a snob, arrogant fool? No, He wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. It's the Abrahamic blessing of Genesis 12. He said, I want you, Abraham, to be blessed so you can bless others. I'll bless you, and those that bless you, I'll bless them, and those that curse you, I'll curse them. He said, God, I that's the blessing upon our lives, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, everybody say, I'm blessed. To be a blessing. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm blessed. To be a blessing. Fathers, you should be blessed so that you can bless your children. Bless them with wisdom. Bless them with understanding. Bless them with finances. Bless them with guidance. Bless them with, you know, whatever. Hello? Blessing. Children. The Bible says if you honor your father, you're blessed. So children should be wanting to bless their family, bless their fathers, bless their mothers, bless their parents. But children should just be wanting to bless and bless and bless, because if they do, there's honor that comes upon them. It should be a crazy blessing feast. Fathers are blessing the sons are blessing the fathers, and it's just a big, giant blessing feast. Hello. Come on. Fathers, if your sons are in here, just look at them and say, come on, give me the money. Do a Brother Ivan here. Come on, give me the money. Are y'all with me here? The point of this message, the last of the 316 principle, is this. God's fellowship with you, it's eternal. It doesn't quit. God never gives up on you. He never quits on you. Matter of fact, He said He would never leave you nor even forsake you. You may quit on God. You may give up on Him. But He never gives up on you. You can get mad. You can say ugly, hateful things to Him. And He's not going to give up on you. You know why? Hear me. Because He's your Father. My son, my daughter, I am still their father no matter what. It never changes. We will all go to the grave and I was their father. Well, God's love for you and His fellowship that He wants with you, you got to understand something. It's eternal. Look, I don't know how it works. I don't know how to explain it all because I can't see into the future. I can't really see heaven. And I read and I, you know, but when you get to heaven, you're not going to have to introduce yourself to Jesus unless you've never prayed here on earth. Hi. Hello, Jesus. Mr. Jesus. I'm Robert Richards. Live in Utopia. I mean, well, come on. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, Mr. God, I'm Robert Richards. You're going to get to heaven and have to introduce yourself? I hope not. You know, you don't want to get to heaven and somebody says, now, who are you? You don't want that to happen. The fellowship and the relationship we have with God on this earth is carried over into heaven. If you have a fellowship and a relationship with Him here, you may see things differently. Like people always do me. They always say, you're Robert Richards? I thought you'd have been taller. I've heard that so many times, it makes me want to wear like elevator boots or something. No, the truth of the matter is when I get to heaven, y'all are going to be really shocked because I'm big. I have a tall spirit that comes out when I preach. I just didn't get the right genetic makeup on earth. When you have a mother who's 5 foot tall, I mean, what can you expect? It's eternal, church. Your relationship and your fellowship with God, it's eternal. It started the day that you got saved, that you gave your heart to Jesus. It started that moment, your name. Just think of this. Somewhere, wherever you were, whatever was going on in your life, whatever that place was in life that you cried out and you said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I love you. Help me, Lord. And that day, boom, your name got written down in heaven in the Book of Remembrance. Is that cool? Now, listen. There's already a piece of you in heaven. Think of that. Think of that for a minute. There's already a piece of you in heaven. It's already marked down. Your name's already written. It's already sitting there. You already got a registry there. Mailbox. Or whatever. Angel box. I don't know what it is. They got to have somewhere to put the angel food cake, so I mean, man. It's eternal. You didn't start, you didn't get saved, and then you're going to get to heaven, and you got to walk in there and meet God for the first time. This fellowship he's offering you is eternal. It's always there. He wants to just fellowship with you, talk to you, be there with you every day of your life, everywhere that you are. Not when you're in trouble, you just go to him. Not when you just, you know, you need something that you go talk to him. No, it's a fellowship all the time, everywhere you are. He never gives up on you. Now, thinking of this from God the Father's perspective, and this being Father's Day, God the Father's perspective, I'm telling you, he is your Father. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, God is your Father. And he's made it, he's eternal, right? Just like my son is my son, I'm his father no matter what. My daughter, I'm her father no matter what. It's eternal. Okay? And so, the same blessing, the same way he's thinking about you, we should be thinking about here on earth. Think about that. In Luke 1, 13, Luke chapter 1, verse 13, when the angel's speaking and telling Zacharias what's going to go on, he said, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And turn, look at this. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He said part of John the Baptist's ministry was to loose the spirit of God so that fathers would return to their children. So children would return to their fathers. Why? Just think about this. Why? We're talking about before Jesus comes on the scene. We're talking about John the Baptist preaching and preparing the way for Jesus to come. And why is it so important to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers? Why is that important? Jesus is about to come on the scene. He's going to pay the price for all of humanity. And God says, well, listen, we've got to get the fathers and their kids right. We've got to get their hearts knit back together. Because that's the heart of Father God. It's the heart of Father God that he wants to be reconciled with his children. It's the heart of Father God that he wants to be reconciled with his kids. Now, here's where I'm taking a wild turn. There's two things that I believe the Spirit of God wants to do here this morning. One is real simple. God wants to be reconciled with you. All right, just listen to me. He's never quit loving you. He's never given up on you. He's never quit you. For those of you listening, those of you watching out there, listen, God has never left you. You left Him. And He wants to be reconciled. He's screaming to be reconciled with you today. And all you got to do to reconcile is just turn to Him and say, I'm sorry. I mean, it's not complicated. Sometimes our pride gets in the way. And when our pride gets in the way, bad things happen. Hello? So, that's all you got to do. You say, Jesus, man, I'm sorry, I love you. I want to come home. What did the prodigal son do? He just went to the father. And then what was it? The father was sitting on the edge of the porch. The father saw him, ran out, hugged him, kissed him. It's not a big deal. There ain't no hoops you got to go. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to get a whip and beat yourself on the back. You don't have to beat yourself up. You just got to go back home. It's not complicated. It's only complicated when we make it complicated. But the second thing I really believe the Spirit of God wants to do today is that He wants to restore physically, naturally, fathers and their children. I was laughing because I said, when the Lord was speaking to me about this, I said, oh, okay, so you mean like if a son is estranged from his father? And then I started laughing because I said, well, I better say what that means, because some of us around here, country folks, say, yeah, I got a strange father. No. Separated, estranged, not a part of. Listen to me. If you're sitting here today, if you're listening or watching, and you don't have a good relationship with your father, God wants to restore that. Hear me now. God wants to restore that. You say, well, how can He do it? He delivered Israel from Egypt in a few days of doing a few miracles, and it just happened. Why are you saying it's too hard? Why are you saying we can never reconcile? Why are you saying that? Oh, well, He'd never. Why are you figuring out what He can do? Because God can do a lot. There's two sets of people in here that I want to pray for. One is, if you're if you're separated from your father, then I want to pray for you. But then it may be the other way around. You may be a father in here separated from your kids. And what God's speaking to my heart about this Father's Day is He wants to bless you and restore those relationships, because He wants to come back and move mightily in your lives. He wants to bring a restoration so that then He can move. And there's all kinds of things that happen in this world, all kinds of separations. Like, for instance, my father is not here. He's in heaven. He's not here on earth with me. But I want to tell you something. I was mad at him for a long time for dying on me. I still sometimes am kind of mad. That may be what's in your heart. I don't want to try to go through and pick out everything out, because I just believe the Holy Ghost is dealing with each and every one of us. There's been so many times that I've looked at my father's picture on the wall and I said, dadgummit, if you wouldn't have died so early, if you'd taken better care of yourself, wouldn't have died, then you know, you could have helped me out of this mess I'm in right now. And been mad at him. But, you know, God has healed me, restored me. But you shouldn't have to live like that. And I'm believing for miracles. I don't need a burning bush right here. I'm just telling you, I'm going to pray and God's going to do it. Are you with me? Jesus is not going to leave you or forsake you. Jesus is never going to not be there with you for fellowship. But I'm just telling you, he wants a restoration, a restoring of fathers to their sons, to their daughters, to their children. Amen? So what I want to do right now, don't exactly know how to do it. Y'all with me on this? Do you hear the Spirit of God speaking to you? I pray that y'all aren't just sitting there saying, well, yeah, you know, that's all right, but that you're with me. Are you with me? How many of you, can I just ask you, just because y'all are the only ones I've got to see if I've even heard God and hit pay dirt. How many of you, what I'm saying to you, it resounds with you that you need God to move in those areas? Okay, praise God. I'm not off. Now, where's my son? He left doing church business before church is over on Father's Day. Wow. Sons, if you're in here, children, if you're in here, get around your father. If your father's in here today, I just want you to get around your father. And just stand up. Fathers, just stand up and let your kids surround you. Is that a way I can see who I'm talking to here? Stand up, Jed. You're a father. New father. Come on, you're a father. Stand up. Even if your kids aren't in here, you're a father. Stand up, because I want to bless you. Man, I wish y'all could feel what I feel on the inside of you right now. It's like my own heart. I just want to start crying because I just know God wants to do something. He wants to. Some of you that have had separated relationships with your kids, and I'm telling you, God's going to do some miracles, and it's going to be really, really sweet. It's going to be really, really sweet. So, first, I'm going to pray for that. I don't need any hands up. I'm just going to pray. If you're estranged from your father or estranged from your children, either way it goes, I'm going to pray for you right now. And if you'll just grab hold of it, God will do a miracle healing. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray for every father in here or every child in here that is estranged from their parents, their father. Lord, you said on a claim, Luke 1, where you said that you want there to be a healing of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. So I pray right now, Lord, I believe you, just like you delivered Israel from Egypt, from captivity, that, Lord, you would move mountains in these situations, because we're standing here with our hearts open and saying, Lord, restore. We forgive, we repent, we turn our hearts to you right now, Lord, and say, restore. Lord, just restore. Restore right now. Fathers to their children, children to their fathers. Do a miracle. Lord, those that have heard hurtful words spoken to them, things said that wasn't right, I just thank you for delivering it right now and taking that out of their life and out of their heart. Now for those, Lord God, standing in here, for those watching, I just believe, Lord, these fathers and their children today, I just believe, Lord God, that it is the greatest days of their lives. I believe you to bless them beyond their imagination. Bless them, Lord God, beyond what they could say. I claim Ephesians 3, Lord God, in 20, that they can do exceedingly abundantly above all they could ever even think or ask. That you restore, that you bless them, that you let the sons bless the fathers, and the fathers bless the sons, and the sons and the daughters bless the parents. And God, it's just a blessing feast this day, oh God. A blessing feast that takes place in lives. Lord, I declare there'll be letters written, awesome things said. Restoration and healing, blessing is upon them. And Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Lord, let this day be a great day. Let this day be a great day. And Lord, we thank you most of all for you, our Heavenly Father, Father God, that we honor you and thank you today, Father God, that you are the greatest, most amazing Father in the world, that you have an eternal love for us, an eternal blessings for us. You never forgive, leave us. You never forget us. You never forsake us. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now give your father a hug. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm not crazy. You watch what God does. You watch what God does. All you got to do is every day say, Lord, I'm believing you. You're in charge. Believe in you. Now, let me just encourage you for another second here. Matter of fact, let me have a prayer team come down. If you're here today and need prayer, we're here for you to pray for you. So, but listen to me, church. I said to my wife this morning, I don't know why we wait. Now hear me. Hear me good. I don't know why we wait till somebody dies before we say nice things about them. That's what we do. And it's wrong. The other day, my wife and I were in a business and we saw this older couple, and they're getting up in years, and we greeted each other, and we got out in the car, and I said, you know, you got to admit, that's the nicest couple. They've always been nicest. We're nicest when we came to Utopia, when other people weren't nice. They were always nice, just nice people. And I looked at her, and I said, we need to write them a card and send it to them. Why wait till their funeral and go tell their kids how nice their parents were? Why not now tell them? And I'm just telling you, don't wait. If somebody is on your heart, somebody you need to tell your father something today, then tell them. You need to tell your children something today about how much you love them, how much they mean to you. Tell them. Don't just say, oh, you know, I'll just send them, you know, they know I love them. You know, they don't do that. Today should be an awesome day. Day of joy. Day of victory. Amen? Now, if you want to go tell them how sorry they were, what a bad father they were, well, pray about that, please. Ask God to heal your heart, restore your soul before you do that. We had a prayer about that, so don't fall into that. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. I also ask the Lord today to cast out all the calories and whatever you would eat. He said, if you have enough faith, so be it. So I'll leave that one to y'all. So grab that person's hand beside you. I want to close in prayer. Prayer team's up here if you need any prayer. So Father, just bless them today. As we go out, I just thank you, Lord, this is a great day, a day of blessing, a day of restoration, a day of healing. And I thank you, Lord God, that you got their names written down in that book of remembrance. And our relationship and our fellowship with you is eternal. And that, Lord, we're not going to have to be introduced to you when we get to heaven. It's just going to be, hey, thank God we finally got here. And so, Lord, I praise you for it. Now, bless them. Lord, just help us be lights and witnesses in this world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.